The house will come to order. We are at that order of business, reading and signing of enrolled acts. Enrolled Act number one, Senate Enrolled Act number one. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Senate Enrolled Act number one, being original Senate file two, an act relating to administration of government.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number two, being original Senate file, or Enrolled Act number one, being original Senate file number two. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number two.
Senate Enrolled Act number two, being original Senate file 11, an act relating to children in need of supervision.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number two, being original Senate file 11. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number three.
Senate Enrolled Act number three, being original Senate file 22, an act relating to property.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number three, being original Senate file 22. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number four.
Senate Enrolled Act number four, being original Senate file number 28, an act relating to workers' compensation.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number four, being original Senate file number 28. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number five.
Senate Enrolled Act number five, being original Senate file 31, an act relating to motor vehicles.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number five, being original Senate file 31. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number six.
Senate Enrolled Act number six, being original Senate file 32, an act relating to off-road vehicle trails.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number six, being original Senate file 32. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number seven.
Senate Enrolled Act number seven, being original Senate file 110, an act relating to school capital construction.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number seven, being original Senate file number 110. I have so signed. We're at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage. Consent list. Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate File 3 and Senate Joint Resolution 6 are off the consent list. I move a consent list consisting of the following bills, Senate Files 4, 5, 6, 20, 27, 74, 75, and 76.
Okay. Would anyone wish to remove any of the bills off?
Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker, did I read the wrong list?
I think so. My list has three bills on it.
Okay.
But it says consent list, which, is that right?
It'll be...
You read it correctly then.
Okay, I will read them very slowly. Everything we've done today. Senate File 3 is off the consent list. Senate Joint Resolution 6... is off the consent list. Our consent list would be Senate Files 4, 5, 6, 20, 27, 74, 75, and 76.
That's exactly what I have. Any other requests to move anything from the consent list? If not, the reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate file number four, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to elections, military, and overseas voters, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate file five, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to state land improvements, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 6, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to Animal Damage Management Board reports, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Senate File 20, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to Election Code Revisions, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Senate File 27, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to the Paramutual Commission, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Senate File 74, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to economic development regarding the Wyoming Market Research Center, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill Senate File 75, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to economic development, workforce housing infrastructure funds, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Senate File 76, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to voluntary environmental audit report, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Boughton.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Gay
excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer. Greer.
Excuse.
Greer excused. Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Here. Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz. Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson excused. Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Bronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 56 ayes, 4 excused. As to Senate File 4, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 56 ayes, 4 excused. As to Senate File 5, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Miller? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 55 ayes, 1 no, 4 excused. As to Senate File 6, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 56 ayes, 4 excused. As to Senate File 20, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 56 ayes, 4 excused. As to Senate File 27, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 56 aye, 4 excused. As to Senate File 74, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 56 aye, 4 excused. As to Senate File 75, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 56 aye, 4 excused. As to Senate File 76, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 56 aye, 4 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 4, 5, 6, 20, 27, 74, 75, and 76 have passed the House. We are now at that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 3.
Senate File 3, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to campaign finance organizations, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We've, from the Standing Committee, I'm trying to simplify everything. We wanted to make sure, as you'll see on the proposed amendment, which I move we adopt, the line on page on the line 21, we have included to just to make sure that it's clear, there's no misunderstanding about who is going to be involved in making a filing. So we've added the language, and any organization making an independent expenditure under the 225102, which is the general filing statute, and filing pursuant to the 225106BI or H, and they shall file the statements required in this section with the Secretary of State. So we're trying to make it clear that if they make an independent filing, that filing is going to be required, and it will be required with the Secretary of State. With that, if there are any questions, I'll yield the floor to anybody that wants to speak on and for the amendment.
Anyone for their first time? First time? Second time. All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to Senate File 3, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 3 has been adopted. Senate File 3 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer excused. Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Patterson. Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlek,
aye.
Shepperson excused, Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 55 aye, 1 no, 4 excused.
Senate File 3, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 3 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 35.
Senate File 35, introduced by Senator Anderson, an act relating to the Law Enforcement Academy director duties. Be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to read third reading amendment number one, House Bill 35. I will remove it. Hate to bring this so late as we have a third reading on this thing, but I got a phone call from Sheriff's Department. He talked to four counties in southwest Wyoming that had some real concern with this, feeling like if they hired their police officers, whether it be sheriff or police, sent them to the academy. As it goes now, if there's a problem with one of the people that are attending the academy, they call the sheriff or police, and they kind of take care of it among themselves and try to decide how bad or good the discipline action needs to be. And if there's a bad thing, then it's a legal thing, and it's taken care of right there. But they're very afraid of letting the rules be rewritten by the presiding officer, and then he has the discretion of what to do. If he sends somebody home from the academy, in essence, he's just saying, you're no longer going to work for law enforcement. And these folks that I'm representing said they just as soon leave it like it is, so they have some say in the discipline of the officer that is causing the problem at the academy. And I kind of cussed him out and said, for heaven's sake, why didn't you call in first reading or even in the other side? But that's what I got, so I'm sticking up for folks in southwest Wyoming. And I have some real concerns. Would just about recommend that we can't pass this, but I'll withdraw this at the appropriate time. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Peasley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I perhaps I should not have dwelled on the ballot of Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone and Alfie Packer when I first presented this. Instead, maybe I should have gone through in greater detail the need for having a rules-making ability in an institution as large as our state academy. On the other hand, the objections raised by the good representative from District 18, I guess, are problematic. I wouldn't really know how to address those coming this late in the game. I have not been able to get, and he was kind enough to share those with me shortly before we had showtime here, and I haven't been able to get any reaction. All I can tell you is that these regulations and these rulemaking abilities are dictated and required now because of the users of the academy and the recruits that come through and the ability to take care of those problems. Granting them the ability to establish rules and regulations and to create an atmosphere that is conducive to safe and healthy learning environment. Now, that's just so fundamental. And now that the institution has become so large, that has become a problem because we don't always get uniform reaction by the law enforcement agencies that send these people there. Additionally, you don't necessarily have to be from a law enforcement agency to be in the state law academy. I guess I would suggest to all of you that we go ahead and do this because it's so necessary. And understand this. This is going to be under the supervision of the Attorney General's office. It's going to be a WLEA project. On the other hand, it's going to, you know, solicit the participation of all these law enforcement agencies. The point is, it's on-campus problems with recruits and other people using it. They've got to be able to run that. Right now, they have the ability to control their staff. But this problem with people coming in and out and coming through and not having rulemaking ability is important. Now, I recognize that maybe this is more of a policy decision than I had thought when I brought the bill. So I guess, you know, decide what you want to do. I found us very much inclined to seek out as many rules and regulations as we can, and therefore perhaps this is a chance to add to that collection. So thank you very much.
Representative Ranish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had a handout passed out. It came from a constituent of mine who has experience in law enforcement, and I want to read just a part of it to you. And I don't apologize for bringing it late like the previous esteemed gentleman did, because that's why we have three readings, so that we can think about these things and we can bring them up. What he said was, while the bill appears harmless and seems to make sense, on the face there is more history involved, and it has a negative impact on law enforcement throughout the state. The Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy was originally intended to train officers to prepare them to return to their respective communities. The hiring, firing, and retention of officers or deputies has always been the discretion of the sheriff or chief, who answers to the mayor or the voters. Obviously, the sheriff and mayor are elected officials that answer to the people. I believe this leaves checks and balances in place to weed out undesirables and maintain a degree of accountability. And here's where he really objects. The Law Enforcement Academy has been trying to take command and make it possible for them to fire officers they feel are not suitable. They have also been trying to create rules not allowing officers to leave the dorms at night and to prohibit the consumption of any alcohol while attending the academy. A lot of sheriffs and chiefs have disagreed with this position, and I believe that this could be construed as a step to creating a military-type academy. While popular in some states, I do not agree with them. You do not want to train your officers in a military atmosphere, only to have them patrol a civilian population. There is a reason this nation uses a civilian law enforcement and forbids the military from enforcing laws against civilians. I know this may sound a little far-fetched, though it starts with an authoritarian director keeping and dismissing officers he does not like. And he said, if this system was already in place, I personally know good officers that would not be working today because of poor internal investigations by the Academy. And thank you. And I would urge you to vote against this bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Representative Barbudo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm another legislator from Southwest Wyoming, and I've heard about some of these same concerns. I think when this bill was presented to the committee, and I'm on the committee, and I voted yes when it came through, it was kind of approached as being a cleanup bill, something that fell through the cracks years ago when the Academy was first created. But I think now that we're actually talking with law enforcement people who are out there in our communities and finding out a little more of the details, I think there are some real concerns there. Of course, we know presently the Academy has some control over who can and can't be a peace officer just by some of the requirements that are there at their academy currently. What would this add additionally? I'm not sure, and I think that the sheriffs and chiefs of police are concerned that they're going to lose even more ability to hire and deny applications as a peace officer based on this legislation. So I think one thing we have to consider is that this has been how we've been operating with the academy for years and years. And I can't imagine that one more year is going to sink the joint. So maybe we can take that year to bring the chiefs and the sheriffs and all the people who have a dog in this fight, maybe that's the wrong analogy, but to the table and get a bill that we can all agree on. But I would urge the body to vote no on this piece of legislation. Thanks.
Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just real quick, because I discussed this on first on the committee of the whole, and then I discussed it on second reading, and I actually had a second reading amendment to take out the rules part, but I would urge you to vote no on the entire bill. I was a little concerned first when I saw that this amendment coming, that maybe there were some other things in this bill we needed, but when you really look at the rest of the bill, there's nothing really there that they need the authority to do. Establishing policies and procedures, I would have hoped they had done that years ago. That's not something they need legislative authority to do. The part they need legislative authority for is rules and regulations, and that's the part that I think they're going a little too far with. I'd urge you to vote no on the bill and allow the sheriffs and the chiefs of police, if there's a problem with one of their folks that they have sent there, that they can deal with their employee, not the Law Enforcement Academy. I'd urge you to vote no.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment against the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, just quick and to the point, when these candidates, if you would, go to the academy, they've been screened, they've been identified by the respective county law enforcement agencies. To have them go to the academy and then face a bad situation here that is not of their making because of these rules and regulations, I think is something that we as legislators have to look at strongly. I'm against the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? First time, Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I guess I'm rising only for the bill. You know, all of these proposals are standard procedure for any director. And admittedly, somebody can say he ought to be doing it anyway, but I think we've had cases with agencies, schools. I can guarantee you schools. I won't tell you which one and where, that there were, should have been procedures in place that they follow to do things similar to exactly what's in this bill, but wasn't being done. So what is wrong, in my opinion, of the legislature just asking the director to do that job? And simply it's subject to approval of the Attorney General, since it is law enforcement. I see no reason not to drag him in there, but it's asking to supervise and direct all activities. Sure, that's his job. I mean, it just, we're telling him to do that. But more importantly, establish policies and procedures to promote a safe and healthy and productive training environment. Established policies and procedures should be critical for any director, but if they aren't doing it, maybe we should remind them. Promote rules and regulations to ensure maintenance of a productive learning environment, so forth and so on. If you say we shouldn't put it in the law, it seems to me that if there's been troubles in the past that they haven't been doing this, there's nothing wrong with us passing a bill to say, do it. So on and for the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Second time? Prior to the sponsor, Representative Yagi. Representative Yagi.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate the comments. I would like to withdraw the amendment at this time. Call for the question.
Senate File 35. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison excused. Edmonds. Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay excused. Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Greer excused. Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Gilloway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden. McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Patterson.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
No.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson excused. Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Bronish. Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 20 ayes, 36 noes, 4 excused.
Senate File 35, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 35 has failed to pass the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 6.
Senate Joint Resolution 6, introduced by Senator Bebout, a resolution dealing with Environmental Protection Agency regulations being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution number 6 and ask for your favorable consideration. As this is a resolution, I don't want to spend a great deal of time on it, and I am in support of the resolution, but the train wreck language on page 1 is not usually the way we phrase these in our fair state. I think this was language proposed by someone not from our fair state. And my amendment is simple. It makes the same point, but instead I would say EPA's regulatory activity regarding air quality has contributed to uncertainty and confusion, and in part because of the overlapping regulations. And I can tell you from a practitioner's standpoint, certainly EPA has made everybody's life a nightmare lately. But nightmare is not the kind of word I would put in a resolution, and I wouldn't use the words train wreck in a resolution either. Thank you.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and against the amendment and for the bill, for the joint resolution, I was contacted on this word change, and I reflected on it for a while, and I decided the best descriptor I could think of is a train wreck. And I would have supported the amendment had it been to add contributes to uncertainty and confusion in part, and then it goes on, as is in the text of it, numerous and overlapping requirements, and because of the potentially devastating consequences the regulatory activity will have on the economy. And that economy, in my mind, is Wyoming, and so I'd urge the defeat of the proposed amendment and support of the bill.
Anyone else for the first time, second time, sponsor anything else? All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to Senate Joint Resolution 6, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number one to Senate Joint Resolution number 6 has failed. Senate Joint Resolution, all those in favor of third reading amendment number one to Senate Joint Resolution 6, please stand. Those opposed, please stand, although I don't think it's close. There's more than 17. Yeah. The amendment has failed. Senate Joint Resolution number 6, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo. Berger, Blake, Flickery, Bonner, Botten, Rechtel, Brown, Burkhart, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Childers, Connolly, Kraft, Davison excused, Edmonds, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay excused, Gingery, Goggles, Greer excused, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlek, Shepperson excused, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Bronish, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 2 noes, 4 excused.
Senate Joint Resolution 6, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Joint Resolution 6 has passed the House. We are at that order of business. Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Sometime in the last 2 weeks, I got at least one email that said I couldn't possibly have a conscience. And I just want you to know I really do have one, and she's sitting right up here. It's the love of my life, Jackie.
Thank goodness you're finally here. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not only do I hope I have a conscience, but I also have a few friends, and I also have a husband. And up in the South Balcony, I want to introduce for all of you more Bighorn folks today. My husband, Bob Berger, and my really good friend, Forrest Mars, and they've come down for the arts event tonight. So welcome.
Representative Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brothers and sisters behind me in the West Gallery, I'd like to introduce you to some special young people from around the state. Behind me is the 2011 State FFA Officer Team, and if I could read them off to you real fast. President Micah Christensen from Cheyenne, Vice President Odessa Oldham from Lander, Second Vice President Kinsey Freeman from Cheyenne, Third Vice President Amy Andreen from Casper, Secretary J.C. Pannell from Hewlett, Treasurer Kyle Toman from Pavilion, Reporter Cinnamon Smith from Gillette, Sentinel Trinity Holland from Moorcroft, and Parliamentarian William Clark from Rock River, and their advisor Scott McDonald.
Do you have privilege of the floor? Okay. We're at that order of business request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 229 on House Bill 18. Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence on House Bill 18 and ask for your no vote. This has to do with the bill has to do with the quarantine of animals, and it's in a section of the bill that talked about the what the state veterinarian can do in the quarantine of animals. The new language that the other body had put in there in the form of an amendment, you can see on page 3, line 16, the language says imported in violation of the board's import rules. I had a discussion this morning with the state veterinarian's office, and they had agreed that this language is a little bit too narrow, and they're concerned about it. So I would like an opportunity to take this back in the conference committee and make sure that we don't make this part of our statutes too limiting. So, again, Mr. Speaker, I would ask that the House vote no on this concurrence request.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 18. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger. Berger. Blake.
No.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
No.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
No.
Eklund. Esquivel.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay excused. Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Greer excused. Green.
No.
Harshman. Harshman.
No.
Harshman. Harvey. Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparik.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Petroff. Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
no.
Simlick,
no.
Shepperson excused, Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
no.
Vronish,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
Berger,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Childers, aye to no. Flickery, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 18. The next message for our consideration is message 232. Representative, Mr. Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence on House Bill 57 and ask for your favorable consideration. There was some additional language put into the feral livestock bill that added the language, if an owner repeatedly refuses to take possession of the livestock, he shall be subject to the provisions of the section G of this section. And this is again in the section law, it talks about the disposition of feral livestock. And it really kind of points to a discussion that we've had two or three different times on this floor with respect to a particular issue that we have up in the northeast corner of the state with an animal that we have affectionately called the yak. So I would ask, I think this is a good amendment, a good addition to the work that we did here in the House. And again, Mr. Speaker and members of the House, I would ask for your aye vote.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 57. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Lickry.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer excused. Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson excused. Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 57. We are at that order of business. Consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move Senate Joint Resolution 5 to below Senate File 119. That's Senate Joint Resolution 5 to below Senate File 119. With your permission, I'd like to proceed until we complete Senate File 137, which would be the ninth bill of the afternoon. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is resolved into Committee of the Whole. Representative Petroff.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 92. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 92, introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to natural gas storage. This bill was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Kasparik, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, sign Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Actually, Madam Chairman, I'd like privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I have two more friends left in Bighorn. Obviously, you're kind of getting the drift today that we have a big celebration going on for Bighorn and Sheridan County in honoring the Bradford Britton Memorial Museum at the Wyoming Governor's Arts Awards. And I'd like to introduce you to our director, Ken Schuster, and his wife Barbara. They're a team, and they've made it a great success. So welcome, Barbara and Ken.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 92 do pass. And I'd like to turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from across the way to our west, and he'll explain the benefits of this great bill.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We bring to you Senate File 92. An act relating to natural gas storage, repealing a provision on customer rates and sales of stored gas, and providing for an effective date. As you can see, we're wanting to repeal Wyoming Statutes 37-3204, and then and with that, if you would look on your desks, I know you got an email, but as well, I have passed out on your desks a a three-pager that says, please support Senate File 92, Natural Gas Storage. If you would search for that and kind of look at it as I explain the bill, I would appreciate that. And with that, Madam Chairman, I will try to explain what we have going here. Senate File 92 involves a national natural gas storage reservoirs. There are several Wyoming gas storage reservoirs that exist that manage national gas deliveries year-round. Gas is purchased in the summer when it is cheap and the demand is low and put into storage and delivered to the customers in the winter when the gas demand is high. By enacting Senate File 92, the legislature will help encourage the development of Wyoming's gas storage industry. The bill repeals one section of a 1987 law that is a Public Service Commission statute that is standing in the way of the sale of Oil Springs gas storage field and will potentially stand in the way of any similar sale. The section is an unnecessary and likely unconstitutional limitation to the ability of Source Gas to sell capital assets that belong to the shareholders of Source Gas. I might just add to that that this repealing of the statute is just the first step in a long process of accomplishing their goal. With that, the Oil Springs field is in eastern Carbon County, north of Medicine Bow. It is owned by Source Gas, which is a regulated utility that supplies natural gas to customers in the Casper Division, which includes Casper, Laramie, Rawlins, Riverton, and parts of Wind River Reservation, or about 53,000 customers. If the statute is passed, Source Gas is planning to sell... Where was that? I'm sorry for naming a company. The oil field is a company that is in the business operating the storage fields. The company intends to improve the field with the following benefits in Wyoming. The investment over $100 million in new wells, compression facilities, and pipelines. The construction of two new 21-mile pipelines to connect the field to the major interstate pipelines. This will increase the takeaway capacity of Wyoming gas, adding to the potential for Wyoming producers to receive higher prices. The new investments will add jobs and tax revenue to Carbon County and Wyoming. Wyoming customers are benefited directly by the proposed sale because the buyer can operate the field at a lower cost. Those lower costs, which may be almost $1 million per year, will reduce gas bills to this company's customers in the Casper Division. Passage of Senate File 92 does not affect the Public Service Commission's continuing regulation of Source Gas. Again, I think that's important to understand when we're discussing this issue is again, this is just the first step. The Public Service Commission will be involved in the process throughout. And the sale from this owner of this gas to the buyer will be subject to PSC approval. If customers have concerns about the sale, they can voice them through the PSC proceedings. The PSC commissioners participated in the Senate and House committee hearings. They have heard no opposition to this bill. It has clear benefits to the state of Wyoming, both for gas customers, gas producers, and the natural gas storage and pipeline industry. With this, I would encourage your favorable support of this Senate File 92 and would stand for questions.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a curiosity question to the good floor manager of the bill. It appeared the original bill that was introduced was removing 201, 202, 203, 204, and it looks like by the time it got over here, they're just taking out 204. I went back and looked at 201. It looks like it's limitations on what you can store. Why wouldn't we just take all of that out? I was just curious as to why you just wouldn't take out everything that was originally contemplated to be taken out.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you. The issue really was about Section 204 only when they finally got to visiting about it. This particular statute, 204, is 23 years old. It has never been used. It was enacted 23 years ago when there was a take-or-pay issue with gas storage. That issue no longer exists. PSC and everybody involved thought the others were appropriate to stay in, and that's why you see it as you do today. Thank you.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 92 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 92 passes the Committee of the Whole. The next file up for our consideration is Senate File 116. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 116, introduced by Senator Jennings, an act relating to oil and gas enhanced recovery microbial conversion. This bill is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Kasperi, Lockhart, Moniz, Stubson, Swanitzer, Dan, Swanitzer, Dave. No, Roscoe, Sign Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 116 do pass. And I'd like to turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from a House district, one less than I have, at 57.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The bill before you, SF 116, has also been commonly referred to throughout the session as the bug bill. But it really is a one of those bills that needs to come along when technology gets ahead of our regulatory environment, and that's really what's happened up in the Powder River Basin and dealing with some exciting new technologies that are developing up there. And there are a couple of companies that have developed competing technologies that both have a similar theme and have a similar struggle in the regulatory environment. The technology essentially capitalizes on the natural process that microbes living within the coal use to convert that coal to methane gas. And that methane gas is what we've been producing throughout the last 15 years or so since the CBM play really began in earnest. These two companies have recognized technologies that inject nutrients back into the coal, use that natural process with the microbes that are in place already in the coal, and essentially facilitates that production of methane gas. And the federal government has referred to this whole process as essentially methane farming. But it's exciting in that it almost turns coal into almost a semi-renewable resource, because you have a natural process that has been taking place. You facilitate it through the injection of nutrients, and as a result, you create this methane. And there's a couple of incredible benefits to this technology. One is, as you probably all know, we've seen sharp decline curves in production in CBM in this state. And there's, you know, predictions that within a dozen years or so that the production of CBM will largely be played out. That will not be the case if these technologies are employed in earnest. There have been estimates that this will not only extend CBM production in this state by a matter of years, but by a matter of decades. And that really the horizons of production by using this technology aren't even really known yet. But it has a couple of other really environmental benefits and overcomes some of the challenges we've seen in CBM production. For example, it uses the infrastructure that's already in place. One of the companies that is operating this technology has purchased a number of wells, I think about 1,300 wells in the Powder River Basin, and they use the existing well structure, the roads, the pipeline structure, and so none of that needs to be duplicated unless you're utilizing this in new coal resources. The other thing it does is it solves the problem that's been vexing this body and state regulators for a number of years, and that's what do you do with surface discharge? And we've dealt with in many ways over the years with that issue in this body. And these two processes, what they do is the water has to be in place for the process to work. So the gas production occurs. They bring up the water and separate the gas from the water, but the water goes right back into the formation. And so you avoid all those very difficult issues related to water discharge and those sorts of things that we've really struggled with. So it really handles some of those key environmental concerns we've had with CBM production. And the problem that has arisen, as I said, is with the regulatory environment and pathway. And what we had, I mentioned there's a company that has been doing this. They had a pilot project of about 400 wells that were permitted through the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. And then they got to a point where they realized that state agencies, primarily the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and the DEQ, were sort of both saying, we're not sure we have authority to regulate this process and how we regulate this process. And as a result, their work kind of screeched to a halt, and it became clear that we in this body needed to do something about that. And so this bill is the answer to that concern, and I it can break it down, and what it does is essentially five key things to make clear of how this process is regulated. First of all, it gives authority to the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission to issue the operating permits for these projects, and which makes sense because the OGCC has been governing methane production for a number of years. They're used to the issues that come up with respect to that waste and all those sorts of things, and it's sort of within their area of expertise, and so they are given oversight with respect to permitting production activities using this new technology. The second thing it does is it allows for unitization of the coal interests and oil and gas interests as well to make these projects work. And the important thing about this is it's consensual unitization. So you have some circumstances in oil and gas where there's forced pooling. You know, you bring in a minority owner against their will. That's not what this is. This is consensual. It gives them the ability to unitize those things, but it's all on a consensual basis. They have to reach an agreement with the coal owner to be able to unitize. And that becomes important with one of the two technologies because it does have some degradation on the coal. So the coal that's left after the process is not as good as the coal was before the process. And they need to make some arrangements with coal producers in order to do that. But this allows them to do that and then bring it in as a unit and produce as a unit, which is a key concern. Finally, in that same area of the rights of these producers versus the rights of coal owners, it provides that they have to plug and abandon these wells upon 60-day notice. So if you have a mine that's moving into production using this technology, the mine would simply give 60-day notice that they're coming and they're going to be encroaching on those wells, and these companies would have the obligation to plug and abandon those wells. So it clearly delineates how that's going to work. Finally, two final things the bill does. It clarifies that this isn't an in-situ mining process. It's not like uranium mining where you come in and you dissolve out all the mineral and bring it up. You're using water and you're removing gas, but you're not removing the coal. You're removing the gas. And so this clarifies that this is not in-situ mining. And then finally, and this is the area that has been, I think, the subject of the most discussion and probably what many of you have heard about, is it clarifies how we protect our water through this process. And it gives really a two-lane approach to it. One, it allows you to go to the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and get a Class 2 permit. And Class 2 is something, in fact, the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission has issued 5,000 of these permits over the years. It deals with everything from wastewater discharge to CO2 floods. This is something that they've done. They're used to doing. They have a process for doing. And so it allows producers who, particularly one of them that is rotating the water through the coal bed, to be able to go and get a Class 2 well or Class 2 permit. Now, remember, what the Class 2 permit says is it says there will be no change in the water quality or the ability to use the water as a result of this process. So one of the things that we're not doing is we're not changing the standards at all. We're just merely setting a pathway for them to meet the standards. So that standard that you cannot impact the water remains the same. With this bill, it remains the same. All we're doing is saying they have to go through this process. It has to be determined that they're not impacting the water before they can move forward with their process. The other avenue for water permitting is a Class 5 permit through DEQ, and again, it's something well within DEQ's expertise and that they've done for a long time. Class 5, these are typically, it would be used for deeper coals, and it's the requirement under Class 5 is that you may be sending something down, but it can interfere with the drinking water that's available in that area. And again, that's a standard that doesn't change under this bill. It remains the same. It just spells out an avenue that they have to follow in order to meet that. So you get either your Class 2, Class 5 permit, and then you go to the Oil and Gas Commission and get your permit to operate. The important to remember is that there are public involvement is contemplated within this bill, both in 30-day notice and comment periods for Class 5 permits, plus the notice that you see within the bill itself for Class 2 permits. And then the Oil and Gas Commission hearing is a public hearing, an open hearing, a hearing where notice is given that those concerned can appear and argue their side. Just one final comment, and then I can take questions on the bill. And this is sort of the key thing, because there's been lots of discussion, I know, for those of you wandering back and forth through the lobby about a parade of horribles about what kind of things are they injecting down into the water. Remember, we're not making a determination on whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, though the industry folks will tell you that, you know, you can drink the water, they've researched it, they know it's safe. But that's not up for us to decide. They have to demonstrate that to either the OGCC or the DEQ. That's part of the permitting process. And if they can't demonstrate that, if by listing out those nutrients that they're injecting, they can't demonstrate that that doesn't impact water, they don't get the permit. And that's all we're saying here, is that we're showing who they have to demonstrate it, but we're not saying what they have to demonstrate, because they still have to maintain that the water stays clean. So with that, I would take any questions that you may have on the bill.
Ms. Minority Flora Whip.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think the good representative from House District 56 covered the main points. This particular technology cannot move forward without a regulatory framework. That's all these companies need us to do, is to create a regulatory framework. I mean, much like we did with carbon sequestration, we're just putting a framework in place. It doesn't actually mean that these companies will get to proceed, because that's not our decision to make. The representative from House District 56 did a good job of explaining the Class 2 wells and the Class 5 wells. I just want to add, to refresh the body's recollection, those are federally approved programs required by the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act, and they come with a number of safeguards. Certainly, if any member of the public, participates in the process and meets the requirements, they can challenge permits issued. There will be plenty of opportunity for public involvement throughout this process. There are some of us here who've been around CBM long enough to remember that in the beginning there was a U.S. Supreme Court case that had to decide whether the gas went with the coal or it was an oil and gas resource. There were a lot of battles way back then between the coal minerals and the oil and gas mineral holders, and I think we can avoid that for this new technology by creating a regulatory framework that, again, ensures protection of the environment and plenty of opportunities for the public to participate. And again, we're not saying go forth and do this. We're saying go forth and apply for your permits.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I learned about this new process, I just looked at this with a new opportunity to use something that is sitting there, not being used. The wells are in place, the resources in the ground, the process that these companies are using, the two that we're talking, is a very non-invasive. It's not going to create any more or create any pollution of any type. And we are talking down in the ground, the non-aerobic methanogens, facultative bacteria, is mainly what we're talking about, and all it's going to do is put the nutrients down there and say, hey, bugs, bacteria, let's go to work. And if you feed them by binary fission, they just really divide by hundreds, thousands, millions, billions, trillions of times. And this is what the chemical process of getting the nutrients down there is going to produce, the methane gas, which is what everything is after. Now, I've heard a little bit about, are we going to have anything to do with E. coli? Well, there isn't any, because they are aerobic, and they're on the surface, they're in our body. These things are down in ground, and there's no invasion of anything put in there. The rate of cell division that these little varmints are going to undergo is just fantastic, and within 2-3 months we ought to be able to get methane gas coming up. And the amount of resource that will be used, first I was thinking 5%, and then I got corrected. It's clear down into 1%. So I see this as just an untapped resource to really create a lot of gas without any pollution, without any detriment, any bad effects on anything that I can see. I would just really encourage the vote on this one, getting them the permits so they can go forth. I do have a list of nutrients, if anybody's interested in, of what they're putting down to encourage these little methanogens to start eating and growing. I'm trying to encourage that process. So in favor of this, and pretty excited about this. Thank you.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was the lone no vote on this, and I just wanted to explain to the body that I'm not not necessarily against this at all. I think I agree with the previous speaker that it could be a really exciting new source of gas that could energize our gas fields up in the Powder River Basin. A lot of infrastructure is in there already. There are two. It is breaking ground, and there are two new technologies, and one has had a pilot project, and one hasn't. I guess what I'd like to say is that I'd like you to read this this handout that was given out, just so that we could all educate ourselves a little bit about this. It is breaking ground technology. It could be great. It could run all our little natural gas vehicles around the state. And I would just like to see it done responsibly. Thank you.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the committee of the whole rises, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 116 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 116 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Privilege of the floor, Representative Goggles.
Privilege of the floor, Madam Chairperson.
Proceed.
Thank you. I just want to take this opportunity to introduce my family and let you know who they are. You probably all know our situation. We've been through a lifetime of hardship in the last month. But I want to introduce them because I'm glad you're here. I want to introduce my wife of 35 years. Her name is Chip. My son, Francis. My daughter's children, Cindy, her son Jason. Jason, would you stand up? And her daughter, Shiloh. Shiloh, would you stand up? Yeah. My other grandson, Jordan. There he is. And last but not least, my sister-in-law, Gloria Seabering. So let's give them a healing welcome to the Wyoming House of Representatives.
The next bill up for our consideration is Senate File 117. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 117, introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to the Wyoming Reclamation and Restoration Center. This bill was sent to Committee No. 2, Appropriations, which recommended a due pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 117 do pass. And I'll take a moment to explain it to you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a moving of funds and giving authorization to the University of Wyoming for the Wyoming Reclamation and Restoration Center. I have given you a couple of handouts today because it's not an easy accounting of the funds, and that's what's critical here. Basically, what we're trying to do is establish a challenge account for the University of Wyoming for this center. And what is important on this bill is if you turn to page 6, section 2, it's something for most of us somewhat experienced legislators to not see often. But what we have done is in section 2 is we've given a complete recount of the accountability of these funds, which originated from abandoned land mined funds. For most of you, you know that we receive those based on our coal-producing companies sending money to the federal government, and we get a portion of that back. So we, over the last few years, received some additional grant funding that had been owed to us over several years, and we've been using that to develop, for example, the School of Energy Resources is an example of what we've done with additional funds that we are not required to use for reclamation. One of the things that we established in 2008 was this center, and the reason that we did that was to encourage the next generation of folks in Wyoming working with our rangelands to become the best practitioners in reclaiming our natural resources and working with industry. What we have found through this process is that we still have the funds available, but we tied our hands in being able to go after matching funds. And so through this whole process, and hopefully with both handouts that you have received today, you can understand what our end goal is, and that is to allow the university to be able to seek a minimum of $100,000 contributions to this organization that we can then match with these funds. So basically, we have $1.5 million, and our hope is to have $3 million, and then continuing with these projects, which when you look at on the last handout that I just gave you, if you turn it over, you will see the type of activities that we are doing with soil sciences, natural resource economics, hydrology, which we just spoke about on a major issue. So these are things where we're trying to work with our landowners, our university, our industry, and that we become the best practitioners overall in the state of Wyoming in moving forward. As you know, we have many challenges before us in order to make certain that we produce the cleanest and the most added value to our resources that we have in Wyoming. And I think with that, I will just ask for your favorable consideration.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 117 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 117 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution Number 2. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, introduced by Senator Nutting, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Constitution of Wyoming regarding health care freedom. This resolution was sent to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Crone, Peasley, No, Barbudo, Green, Nicholas, Throne. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Brown?
Madam Chairman, I move that when Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that Senate Joint Resolution 2 do pass, and I turn the explanation of the bill over to the representative from District 18.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Fellow members, bring you Senate Joint Resolution number 2. I think this comes to us as a request from a lot of people we talked to as we campaigned from all around the state. We heard lots of concern over health care, and I feel the major majority of the folks were very concerned about the mandate that we were getting. The ideas in this bill came forth clear from, well, starting this summer, working on this idea. And it ended up with two resolutions that ended up in the Senate, and both of them ended in Judiciary Committee. And with a lot of work from that committee and a lot of work from the House across, that's what I'm supposed to say, the House over there, it ended up with what we have in this bill. And or this resolution, and this is the best of the thoughts, the ideas, the discussions that came from all of that. The bill that we started out with, the two resolutions, were pretty thick. And if you look at this bill, it got condensed, it got a haircut way good. I'd like to introduce it by turning to page 3, if you would, and start on line 7. This kind of tells you three things that this bill does. And the first one is, on line 7, the adoption of this amendment will provide that the right to make health care decisions is reserved to the citizens of the state of Wyoming. There's number one. And I think that was one of the things that a good share of us got sent down here to look at. The second part, it permits any person to buy and any health care provider to receive direct payment for the services. So we're just saying you can buy what you want and people can sell what they want. And then a lot of discussion went on in the body across the way. And the final statement of a couple pages just ended up into this. The amendment produces a legislature to place reasonable and necessary restrictions on health care consistent with the purposes of the Wyoming Constitution and provides that this state shall act to preserve these rights from undue government infringement. So in essence, it says, if you turn to the front, you can see that it gives us the choice to decide what kind of health care we would like to have. And we are creating a new section in Article 1, Section 38, that states just about what I said, and that's on line or page 2. And I guess that's about as simple as I can make it, so I will stand for questions.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I do have several questions. I may not ask them all today. Let me just ask a general question first. My understanding of the intent of this amendment was basically to ensure that Wyoming residents would not be forced to buy health insurance based on the passage of federal law. I guess my concern is how will this affect the state's ability as a state agency, as a state legislators to make health care policy decisions in the future? Because my understanding of it now is that it's not just a limitation on the federal government, it's a limitation on the state, and I'd kind of like to know how that's going to play out.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have a question for the bringer of the bill. With the language that's in here and the way it suggests The Medicare provisions at the federal level and the Medicaid provisions are woven into that National Health Care Act. Are we jeopardizing health care, the Medicare-Medicaid program on the state level?
Representative Peasley.
I'd like to ask the good bringer of the bill that isn't this, in fact, a resolution we're going to submit to the people so they can decide whether or not we push back, rather than us making all these decisions about Medicare, Medicaid, and whether or not a Wyoming resident would be forced to buy or not buy insurance. Am I correct in understanding this is a decision that you're asking that the people of Wyoming make?
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The intent and how will this play out, I think we're kind of looking at all the options. If somebody wanted to buy into the National Health Care Plan, nothing's prohibiting them. So I really don't know the question of how will this play out. I think we have all the options available. People can decide. And let me go to the last statement, which was going to be kind of in my last statements. This is an amendment, and the people, all we're doing now is voting on this in this body to bring an amendment that will be in 212 that the voters will decide. And, by the way, we do need two-thirds majority to move this along in here. So be aware of that because this is the resolution, and we need 40 votes in here to do that. So, yes, this will, if it gets past us, as it has in the other side, it will be on the ballot. And the national health care and the Medicaid, honestly, I don't know how that'll play out. I think we're just going to have to continue to move forward, studying all the things, and I think this will be addressed by someone else who has some talking points on this. So I'll just let it be with that. Thank you.
Representative Theron.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This will not go on the ballot until 2012, by which point we should be very close to a Supreme Court decision deciding the constitutionality of the federal health care law. So my question is, if the federal health care law is found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, what would be the effect? And if it's found constitutional, what would be the effect of Wyoming having this in statute?
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to answer one of the questions, my understanding from the debate on the chamber on the other side about Medicaid and Medicare, that this will not affect or jeopardize. This really is very specifically saying that each adult has the right to purchase and make these decisions for themselves, whatever that decision may be. They simply have the right to make that decision. If they choose or qualify for and would like to be participate in Medicaid or Medicare, then most certainly they can do that. And if you look on page 2, section C, which is line 18, the legislature may determine reasonable and necessary restrictions on the rights granted under this section to protect the health and general welfare of the people or to accomplish the other purposes set forth in the Wyoming Constitution. So I think that answers some of the questions about what the state can or cannot do. The legislature still has the ability under the purview of the general health and safety or welfare of the citizens to act. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This isn't the first time we've seen this bill. Actually, this is the third time that this bill has been in front of this body or the body down the hall. What this bill is just asking the people of the state of Wyoming whether they want to put into their constitution a declaration that they have the right to make their own health care decisions if they're competent adults and nobody can tell them what to do. It's nothing more than that. It's just asking the people to have give the people the opportunity to declare that one of the most fundamental decisions that you have, the decision over what happens to your body and what your health care is. And then it goes on and it talks about direct payment for health care without the imposition of fines or penalties. And then it gives us the power to restrict harmful practices as we see fit, those practices that we've already chosen to restrict. And there's nothing mysterious about this. It's just giving the people an opportunity to declare what they want as rights in their Constitution.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a question for the bringer of the bill, and it relates to page 2 and the paragraph B on direct payment. Wanted to ask of him, of the good representative, for his understanding of direct payment. Is this in any how in this in any way does this relate to private health insurance? And is it at all antagonistic to private health insurance? Just an explanation in of direct payment.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you. I also have some questions, because what's going to appear on the ballot and what the people are going to vote on is in Section 2 on page 3. Article 1, Section 38, will this also appear in the Constitution? Because that pretty well explains what we're wanting to do, but I'm concerned with the language here that the last, apparently this was put on in the Senate. I thought it was real clear that the adoption of this amendment will provide that the right to make health care decisions is reserved to the citizens of the state of Wyoming. That's what the real issue is. It permits any person to pay any health care provider to receive direct payment for services. But that's what I thought was going to be our statement. This other part kind of concerns me. Because this, as I understand it, and maybe the legal people here on the floor can help me out with this, but Article 1, Section 38, the right to health care access, did this appear on the ballot too? Okay, if this appears on the ballot also, then I don't have any concern about it.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I asked this question in committee, and I didn't get a really great or a clear answer. There are many provisions of the Affordable Care Act that polls, I think even in Wyoming, show people like, including the provision that allows parents to keep their children on their health insurance policies till age 26. Are we going to be able to enforce that in Wyoming if we have this statutory provision?
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the questions that are coming about specific things, it just says we will have the ability to choose what we want. If we want to keep them on our health care, if we want a plan that does that, we can do so. But I think it's up to the health insurance providers, whether it be the national health or whether it be private. And in answer to the question of direct payment, to me, I'm pretty, looking at just straightforward. I'm going to pay for what I get, and I can pay into there, or if I'm in a group, the group pays into there. So I just think, you're going to pay for what you get one way or another. And so I guess that's what I have to say about that.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to answer the last question about up to age 26, it's my understanding, and I've talked to quite a few people, and I know that the state just complied with that portion of the federal health care bill on extending coverages to the age of 26. page 2, lines 9 through 12, the parent, guardian, or legal representative of any natural person shall have the right to make health care decisions for that person. So our plan in Wyoming is an optional plan. If you'd like to put your child on and keep them on until age 26, that is an optional program. Parents still have the right to do that. The state still has the right to allow that. Now, that's going to be a decision for this body going forward, particularly if the national plan is overturned. We'll have to make that decision on whether we want to keep that benefit. It does come at a cost to this to the state. But my understanding is yes. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Wanted to address a few issues. The question from the good representative from House District 54, the language on page 2 would appear, and then in section 2, we always get to kind of write a simple explanation of what the amendment is to the people, which also goes on the ballot so that they can be better informed, because a lot of times, when you have the constitutional amendments, this one is actually pretty straightforward, the language on page 2. Some of them get more complicated, and so we always add an endorsement or a statement next to it that kind of gives a basic explanation of what adoption of the constitutional amendment would do. And then secondly, with regard to the direct payment language on line 15, that basically means that as an individual citizen, you have the right to contract directly without the government interference, with a healthcare provider and pay them directly for those services without being required to go through a government protocol or program.
Representative Swanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have a question on page 3. And I suppose this is what's really confusing me. I think I totally understand the concept on lines 7 through 9 that says that Wyoming citizens will have the right to make their own decisions and then permit some for direct pay. But could you explain to me what the purpose is of saying then the government can still step in and put in reasonable and necessary restrictions? And the government that I'm referring to in this situation is the Wyoming state government. Why do we not just say that the citizens of Wyoming have the right to make their own decisions? And why do we have to say, it looks to me like we're taking it out of the federal hands and just putting it into the state hands. And if the whole purpose of the Constitution is to give the citizens the right to choose their own health care, then let's just say they have the right to choose their own health care and leave out the part about, the legislature can come up with rules as necessary and reasonable. Thank you.
Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Thank you. In answer to the good representative from the good representative from Laramie County, we restrict certain practices that can be termed health care. The use of illegal drugs, assisted suicide, provisions of certain other procedures. We regulate those through the state of Wyoming. We say that you can't overprescribe drugs. All of those things could be argued to be the provision of health care that the state can't regulate without that third section, which is why it's there. If you just do the first two sections, it opens that up to making the state a regulatory free zone where there is no regulation of health care services, and whatever anybody wants, they can do without our regulation, which repeals, in essence, most of Title 35 of our statutes, and so that's why it's there.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and against this, I have some real issues with page 2, section C, which is page 2, lines 18 to 22. Boy, that sure looks like to me that puts us right here in this room on the hook for everything that goes bad with this. And my opinion is I would hate to walk out there and see the pitchforks and rakes out at the front door chasing us down the street when this goes south.
Representative Throne.
And I do apologize for all the questions, but, this is something we submit to the people, and I think that they expect us to have really vetted it carefully. That's why it has to go through a two-thirds vote here. And when you put things in the Constitution, you can't get them back out except with another constitutional amendment. So that is the reason for me asking so many questions. We can't just send this on to the voters if it's not carefully analyzed, and frankly, every word needs to be carefully analyzed, which brings me to something I just thought of. In Section A, lines 9 through 11, the parent, guardian, or legal representative of any other natural person shall have the right to make health care decisions for that person. Now, I think under most circumstances, C would continue to allow us to require kids to have vaccinations and things like that. But by putting such an explicit right in for the parents and guardians to make health care decisions for their children, I am worried about those situations where we have perhaps a parent who, for religious reasons, is not getting any medical treatment for a child, and certainly that's a tough issue, but we have cases and law dealing with that now, and I'm concerned with that strong language that we could be having the dreaded unintended consequences of not being able to protect children.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think the good majority floor leader answered this question for me, but I'd just like to make sure. For a minute, I got really excited because I thought that the first sentence of Section 2, the adoption of this amendment will provide that the right to make health care decisions is reserved to the citizens of the state of Wyoming, might have meant that I or my mom could have gotten some pot when she was suffering from cancer and the effects of that. I'm not 100% sure that's possible after the explanation from the majority floor leader, but I honestly think that that could be a very reasonable interpretation, that the first sentence could mean that the right to make all health care decisions is reserved to the citizens of the state of Wyoming, that someone could use such type of medical treatments that are allowed elsewhere. But honestly, my question for the bringer of the bill is, I am honestly not sure what, if anything, this constitutional amendment does for our citizens. I don't see it giving us any more rights. I'm not seeing it anything that it does to change, in all honesty, what's going on right now. And so if you could indulge my very kind of vague question and explain what, in fact, this could do to benefit any of our citizens. Thank you.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm still having a problem. If the title says health care freedom, then let's have health care freedom. And I'm all for that. And if it allows for assisted suicides to come in, that's fine. That's their choice. I mean, to me, it looks like it's just taken from the federal government and put it into the state government. But if we're getting rid of governmental intervention, then let's just let the people of Wyoming make their own health care decisions. Period. No restrictions, no necessary things, no necessary restrictions, or even reasonable restrictions. That's what the federal government's telling us, that they're acting in our best interest. They're putting reasonable and necessary restrictions on it. So I have a tough time. Of course, I'm going to vote for it. Don't get me wrong there, but I need a little help. I think I want to discuss this on a second reading amendment because I want the people of Wyoming to have health care choices. I want that part to go through for sure. I want to take off the part that Wyoming all of a sudden becomes the big brother, and we're the ones that say, look out, we're putting on the restrictions. So, but maybe a better explanation. I appreciated my return debate on that, but I don't think I'm convinced of it yet.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you. Sensing that the body is getting weary of the debate, and I know that we are, I just wanted to quickly rise, and I think the good representative that just made those comments has a valid point, and one that is a policy point we could discuss on a second reading amendment. I think that this bill, as the good bringer of the bill spoke at the beginning, was a compromise position on the other chamber between two specific bills, and they came to this point for concerns that the good majority floor leader discussed. And for many of us, this is a reset. This is something that the voters have asked for, to say we're going to push back and go back to where we came from prior to what happened in the mother country out east. But we can certainly talk about a policy decision on going even further and just allowing this to be healthcare freedom, period. But for now, I would highly encourage the body to support this and bring it forward for any debate we would have on second reading.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate Joint Resolution Number 2 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 2 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 135. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 135, introduced by Senator Nicholas. An act relating to public funds, University of Wyoming federal mineral royalties. This file was sent to number two appropriations, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Berger?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 135 do pass, and I will defer to the good representative from House District 7 to explain the bill.
Representative Pedersen.
Sisters and brothers of the 61st, I bring before you Senate File 135, and I wanted to take an opportunity to explain to you the bill, the history of the bill, why this is in front of you, and what how this affects the way we do our budgeting process, the way that this profiles, and the way that we should support this bill going forward. This bill comes to you based on a long history at the University of Wyoming and how we used to structure funding and how that changed over time and how statute didn't move with practice, and now we need to figure out what that problem is and correct it. Originally, there were five different groups at the University of Wyoming that were all broken out into a series of sections. And then later on, it was all moved to one group for the University of Wyoming. They were all individually funded. Prior to that, they had different budgets, different sections, different pieces that would come together. And finally, in 1999, it was moved into a block grant. And underneath that block grant, the funding goes out, and specifically as it pertains to this bill, it pertains to the federal mineral royalties, which is 6.75% under the cap. What happened is they moved into the way that we practice with the rest of our federal mineral royalties as it pertains to the highway fund and the highway fund on county roads and different pieces. That actually is reported and not profiled in the same way. We are a pass through for those federal mineral royalties. The statute also contains some archaic language that needed to be cleaned up because it's something that we don't do anymore. I'll speak to that piece when we get as I move the page by page explanation of the bill. This bill does not change the way that we fund the university. It does not change the way we pay for things. All bonds are still required to be looked at and approved of by the legislature. All CapCon is still required to be approved of by the legislature. All the reporting still goes as the way we've done. Housing is still paid for with bonds. All of the research funding is all done by grants. None of that falls underneath this process. What really comes into play is the way that the federal mineral royalties come in. Right now, you'll notice if you look at your budget this time, it looks like the University of Wyoming had a large spike in its net funding, and that's due to the fact that this was all caught by two things. One is that for two administrations prior to this, this was treated as a block grant funding, the way that we treat our highways, the way that we treat our highway and county roads. And what came together was that UW and the new Office of Administration figured out this doesn't match with statute, this practice doesn't. So what this does is brings together practice with arranging the bill. And where it really begins is if you look again on if you look here on page 2, where it really begins is there down there in Romanet 4, when it moves, when authorized by the legislature is struck from this revenue, it is used only when authorized by the legislature. And it's actually moved down for principal projects authorized by the legislature. And then it continues on to the next page, and where I really want to look at the language is upon properly itemized and receipt vouchers there beginning on line 3 and line 4, That's not something that we've done as a state for as long as anybody can remember, and that's archaic language, but it still existed in statute, and that piece moves to clean it up. What they did do is they moved a portion of all of the reporting and the funding to legislature, and that is there beginning on line 5, provided that expenditures for capital construction and projects shall only be for projects authorized by the legislature. And also down on line 15, the trustees shall report annually to the Joint Appropriations Interim Committee and the Select Committee on Capital Finance and Investments and the governor on all expenditures underneath this paragraph. So you still end up with the reporting piece, and you don't end up changing the way the funding goes. What is all this funding used for? This funding is used for major maintenance, never for, once again, capital construction, never for bonds and things along these lines. It can also be used, however, to pay down interest on bonds early. And so what the main goal here is to move statute into what we did largely over the past over a decade with the way that we treat pass-through FMRs so that we can properly put it with the way that we profile it, not only on the budget but the way that it's reported to the legislature. So with that, I stand for any questions, and if there are none, I call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 135 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 135 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 99. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 99, introduced by Senator Martin, an act relating to sales and use tax regarding tax sales tax on certain food items. This bill was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Camel, Childers, Goggles, Miller, Peterson, Semlek, Vranish. No, Madden, signed Representative Childers, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Childers?
Madam Chair, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 99 do pass. And I'll turn over the explanation of the bill to the good representative from House District 17 in Sweetwater County.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. I bring you Senate File 99, which, even though it says sales tax on certain foods, is not a tax. It's not a new tax. There's actually two purposes for this bill. One is to really clearly define what we mean when we say food for domestic home consumption. And this was actually at the request of the department, because at this point, the clear definition is only in their rules. So the definitions you see in the bill mirror what's in their rules. They thought it was important that they have it in the statute as well, and they really wanted to clearly identify what should be exempt from the food tax, which is the food for domestic home consumption, and what is still to be remaining taxable. The other thing they wanted is they wanted a specific reference in there to alcoholic beverages and tobacco, because if you just read the general rule, you could easily say, oh, well, gee, there shouldn't be a tax on them either, but that's not the case. So we were very clear defining them as something other than food for domestic home consumption. But the second purpose of the bill is really the one that was brought to our attention by a number of small business people around the state. And this part, when the rules were drafted, when the tax on food was removed, somehow or other vending machines, the food you buy in a vending machine, fell through the cracks. So right now we've got a huge inequity in our process. What happens, let me just kind of explain you, like you go into the convenience store, you grab a Coke, you grab a bag of chips, take them and you pay for them, and there's no tax. You go to that same store, same scenario, but this time you get it out of a vending machine. It's taxed. It's the exact same food in the exact same package. The only difference is how it's dispensed. So if you, and I've noticed this myself, sometimes you notice if you get it out of a vending machine and it costs more than if you just were to take it to the counter, What happens too is if the owner of the vending machine is going to put a tax on, they can't put it on in penny increments. You know, there's no place to put a penny in a vending machine. So it has to go on in a nickel or a dime or a quarter increment. That's one thing. The other thing is maybe that business person is a little worried about you paying more for it. So they bite it and they absorb that tax, which then means they're paying more than the big box, than the big national convenience store is paying for the same food. So all we're really asking here is just for the level playing field for some of these small business owners that have vending machine corporations or little companies and are paying tax on the same food that is not taxed in the convenience stores, in the grocery stores, in the big box stores. That's the bill in a nutshell, and I would stand for any questions on the bill.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I do have a question on page 2, line 12 and 13. Food sold in a heated state or heated by the seller, does that include things that are in the deli section of the grocery store, like a rotisserie chicken or foods that are hot that you would typically buy, add to the other things that you do at the grocery store and then take home and feed to your family? So sold in a heated state or heated by the seller, I mean, I would understand if that's going through a fast food drive-through window, but does this also apply to things that you buy in the grocery store?
Representative Kraft.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Madam Chair. And that's where these rules are really confusing. And all we're really doing right now is just looking at the part about vending machines. That's all we're looking at. But that's the good chairman of House Labor brings up a really good point. Because right now, prepared food includes food sold in a heated state, food you mix together, foods that you give utensils for, those are taxed. And that's something we may want to look at down the road with a different piece of legislation. If I go in and I buy a sandwich and I'm going to take it out, it's not taxed. But if the person serving it to me gives me a napkin and a fork and a knife for my sandwich, it is taxed. There's a lot of odd things going on with our food tax issue. This bill just hopes to just strictly limit just to the vending machine. And so to kind of take that question and put it in the vending machine category, the vending machine people are going to pay a tax on anything that comes in a heated capacity out of a vending machine, just the same as it does in a grocery store. So all we're trying to do is make it equitable across the board.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. A similar question is on page 2, lines 15 and 16. It says prepared foods includes two or more food ingredients mixed or combined by the seller for sale as a single item. That sure seems to me that you could include about everything. I mean, a candy bar in a vending machine is several items mixed together, so this is saying you can tax that. So I just have concerns that maybe it doesn't do what we... I agree with the concept. I'm just wondering if by having that language in there, it's actually having the opposite effect.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Actually, what that language is, that is what's currently already in our rules. All the department asked was that we put it in statute. If we want to amend those things, I'm perfectly fine with that. But that's the way it is right now. We're just looking at vending machines with this. But if you look at the two or more food ingredients mixed or combined, they have to be combined by the seller. So I have to make you your sandwich. And that's me combining it. The candy bar, those ingredients have already been combined, packaged. There you go. So that's the part to really watch is by the seller for sale as a single item. So if I'm going to sell you a turkey sandwich and I'm in the big store making you your turkey sandwich, that's what that means by more than one ingredient combined.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 99 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Senate File 99 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 63. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 63, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to game and fish donation of hunting licenses. This bill was referred to Committee Number 6, Tribal Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, McKim, McComey, Petroff. No, Bodden, excused, Shepperson. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman McComey?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 63 do pass. And I'd like to turn the explanation of the bill over to the good gentleman from the Star Valley.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I bring to you Senate File 63, and as the act in here says on it, this is providing for a donation of big game licenses for reissuance to disabled veterans. Now, the way this works on this particular bill, a person buys a license in their own name. He then surrenders that license to the Game and Fish, back to the Game and Fish Department. The department reissues that license to a veteran with disabilities through a nonprofit charitable organization. Now, reissuance of this license is for the same species, in the same area, and the same type of license. The reissued license is at no cost to the qualifying disabled veteran. The license cannot be sold, traded, auctioned, or offered for any monetary value, and is not subject to residency, drawing, fees, years of restrictions, or lifetime restrictions. Now, that's just a brief explanation of what the bill is all about. Is this something new? Sort of. Let's put it that way. There are other special licenses issued out by the Game and Fish Department. We have the Pioneer license. We have the one that's for people who lived in the state of Wyoming for over 50 years, I think it is, for 70 years. We have licenses for active military people that are provided at no charge. We have a certain amount of licenses that are complimentary licenses given by the commission for elk, deer, antelope to nonprofit organizations, once again, that are allowed to be auctioned, bid, or raffled off. We also have paid licenses given for those with disabilities, once again, through nonprofit organizations. We also have a paid license that's given to youth with life-threatening illnesses. That's just kind of a brief history about the different types of licenses we do give out now. So with that in mind, the bill actually kind of begins on page 3, so if you'll just kind of go with this, through this quickly with me. In the first section right there, 8 through about 12, this is simply where the license is bought and surrendered back to the Game and Fish for reissuance. And once again, it says through a nonprofit organization. In 13 through about 15, it just goes on to say this same type of license as was previously issued. Same area, same type of license, same species. 16 through about 17, it's reissued to a qualifying disabled veterans. 17 on down says will not be sold, traded, auctioned for any monetary gain. And the rest of that says shall not be used by anybody other than a disabled veteran qualifying under the provisions of this statute. And then it goes on to say that the reissued license shall not be subject to additional fees to the veterans. And also that it shall not be subject to residency, drawing, and fee requirements under this following statutes. It goes on to say that the restrictions that are placed on it, like 5 years, whether on what type of license it is, shall not apply to it also. In essence, that's just what the bill's about. Any questions?
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman McComey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 63 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 63 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill up for our consideration is Senate File 128. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 128, introduced by Senator Hines, an act relating to abandoned vehicle storage expenses. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Peasley, Throne. No, Brechtel, Nicholas. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Brown?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 128 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I would turn the entire explanation for both the bill and the Standing Committee Amendment over to the representative from District 45.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to discuss the amendment in conjunction with the bill, because without the amendment, there is no bill left. Brothers and sisters at 61st, when you go home this spring and this summer and you talk to your constituents and they ask, what did the 61st do for the people of Wyoming? I hope this is not the first bill we mention, the second bill we mention, the third, the fourth, or the fifth. But we're trying to address a concern very few people in our society have, but a concern nonetheless. Originally, when the Senate passed this, you can see they changed the rate to four times the original amount. Because our committee has so many great lawyers on it, they had a concern that many of their clients get locked up for 30 days, and they can no longer afford to buy their clunker as they get out of the jail. So therefore, we inserted the 30-day waiting period and only raise the fine to twice the original amount. Pending any questions, I would call for the question, Madam Chairman.
Question having been called on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 for Senate File 128. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Question being called. All those in
favor. Madam Chairman. I personally am on and against the bill, and I would encourage you all to vote no as well. A raise on a fee is a raise on a tax, and I'm not here to raise any taxes. I don't think you are either. So quite simply, vote no on the bill.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. That's not true. Just to correct the good speaker or the good majority whip. This is the fee that you can charge for storage. We set it by statute. It's unregulated. This isn't a fee that goes to the government. This is a storage fee that people charge for storing vehicles, and we set a maximum by statute. This increases the statutory fee that they can charge for storing your clunker in their backyard.
Chairman Teeters.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman. And just to push back, I still think that if we pass this, our constituents will pay more. So I would urge you to vote no.
Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I was a no vote on this, and it was just for that reason. I a lot of concern for somebody who might, for whatever the reason, be hospitalized or whatever and end up having to pay quite a high bill to for impounded car. Thank you.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 128 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. Senate File 128 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 137. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 137, introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to the operation of motor vehicles regarding ignition interlock devices. This file was sent to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Barbuto, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Peasley, Throne. No, Brechtel, Nicholas. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Brown?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 137 do pass, and I would turn the explanation over to the good representative from District 24.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. What we have here to present to the body this afternoon, the last bill of the week, is basically an attempt by this bill is to tighten up the rules in regard to interlock devices. The interlock device, of course, just sort of a general explanation of what it does. If a person is convicted of driving under the influence or has been found to have a blood alcohol content of 0.15 or above, the current law allows for an interlock device to be placed on the vehicle. And that basically, in order for the vehicle to start, a person will have to blow into the interlock device. If there's any detectable alcohol, the car will not start. There's been some issues and some problems with uniformity in how these interlock devices have been applied across the state. Different judges have been doing different things with these interlock devices. And some of them have been placing the requirements of the interlock device earlier in the process, some later. Some are not making specific findings in regard to the blood alcohol content. So basically what this bill does is take the interlock device system or structure from away from the courts and actually puts it into an administrative function. And that administrative function would be contained in the Department of Transportation. So instead of going to court and having a court make a determination and have differing judges make differing opinions about how this applies, this would actually go to a hearing examiner within the Department of Transportation. So it's a way to ensure that the purpose of having an interlock device is actually being effectuated on the ground and tightens up that language. So with that, Madam Chair, I'd stand for questions.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 137 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 137 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Good job, Madam Chairman. As promised, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 92, recommended do pass. Senate File 116, recommended do pass. Senate File 117, recommended do pass. Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, recommended do pass. Senate File 135, recommended do pass. Senate File 99, recommended do pass. Senate File 63, recommended do pass. Senate File 128, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 137, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Petroff, Chairman.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole report is adopted. We're at that order of business. Messages from the Senate.
Message 238. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 41, Film Industry Financial Incentives Program. Ayes 26, noes 3, excused 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 239. Mr. Speaker, the Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 23, Mail Ballot Elections. Ayes 13, no 16, excused 1. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 240. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 30, Execution of Judgment Liens. Ayes 29, no 0, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 241. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 75, Victim Notification Amendments. Ayes 29, no 0, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 242. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 98, Bar and Grill Liquor Licenses. Ayes 23, noes 5, excused 1, conflict 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 243. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 109, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 27, noes 2, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 244. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 113, Wyoming Pipeline Authority. The House bill listed above passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 27, noes 2, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 245. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 115, Charter Schools Application. Ayes 28, noes 1, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 246. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 15, Weed and Pest Control. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 29, noes 0, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 247. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 117, Data Processing Services Center Tax Exemptions. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated, as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 24, noes 5, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Conference Committee for House Bill 18, Representative Eklund, Representative Zwanitzer-Dan, and Chairman Representative Simlek. Chairman. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 9, engrossed, respectfully reports the same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Harshman, Peterson, Stewart, Wallace, no, Escobel, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 81, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Peterson, Stewart, Wallace, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 103, engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Peterson, Stewart, Wallace, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 47, engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Davison, Yagi, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Shepperson. No, Connolly. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 72, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Quarburg, Vronish, Swanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Quarburg, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 73, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Kasparic, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Swanitzer, Dan, Swanitzer, Dave, signed Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 50, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Kraft, Gay, Gingrich, Green, Harvey, Hunt, Miller, Peasley, signed Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 102, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Kraft, Gay, Gingrich, Green, Harvey, Hunt, Miller. No, Peasley, signed Representative Harvey, Chairman.
Re-referrals, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to respectfully re-refer Senate File 50, engrossed, and Senate File 102 to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
It's been moved for re-referral of Senate Files 50 and 102 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to re-refer Senate File 73 to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
It's been moved for re-referral of Senate File 73 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Committee announcements. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, it's my pleasure to announce that Judiciary Committee Number 1 will meet Monday, February 14th at 7:59 a.m., Valentine's Day, to consider Senate File 132, Strangulation of a Household Member.
Chairman Quarburg.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, we'll meet Tuesday, the day after Valentine's Day, February 18th, 10 minutes after adjournment, Room H-17. We will consider the following bills. Senate File 112, Engrossed National Guard Billeted Soldiers Fund, and Senate File 131, Military Department Federally Funded Positions.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10 will meet Monday, February 14th, immediately upon adjournment in room 302, and this is going to be a change from what we normally do. Prior to any consideration of any bills, there will be a hearing to review the implementation of the interstate purchase of health insurance that was enacted in the 2010 Wyoming Session Laws, Chapter 86, which is interstate insurance sales. And the full legislature is invited to attend that hearing. Following that hearing with the insurance commissioner, we will hear Senate File 29, Engrossed, Developmental Disability Services, and Senate File 37, Engrossed, Health Insurance Definitions, if time allows.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would... Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Monday morning at 8 o'clock to hear Senate File 121, Performance-Based Evaluations and Design, and Senate File 143, Federal Natural Resources Policy. And I'd also like to ask the Minerals Committee that are still here, awake, and listening to think about interim topics because we're going to have to start working our way through that. And if I may have privilege for just a moment, Mr. Speaker. The checks are rolling in on the Coleman Race for the Cure, and those of you who haven't added to the file, we'd like you to do that at your earliest convenience, either to Floyd or myself, and thank you for those that have turned in their checks and their forms.
Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet Tuesday, February 15th at 7 a.m. in room 302 to hear the following Senate files: 65, engrossed animal remedies; Senate file 58, engrossed landowners' rights and wind energy development; and Senate file 100, engrossed cruelty to animals. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Illway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Monday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, at noon recess in room 18, and we'll have a wonderful time discussing Senate File 54, Disability Insurance Rates Notice, and we'll take up Senate File 113, Engrossed Surveyors and Engineers Practice Act Revisions, maybe.
Chairman Childers, I still haven't given you any bills, right? Okay, Chairman Childers, I'll bite.
Well, Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, revenue, we don't have any strangulation bills. We don't have any health bills. We don't have any game bills. And yes, we have no bills to take care of. So there will be no meeting on Monday morning. Everybody can relax from the revenue committee. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You're very welcome. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet Monday, February 14th, immediately upon adjournment in H-10 for consideration of Senate File 146, Engrossed, Teacher Accountability Act.
Vice Chairman Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your travel committee number 6 will meet, did he hand me the right one? Travel? Oh, okay. He got the right one. We'll meet Monday at 8 o'clock to talk about Senate File 85, game fish violations, penalties, and Senate File 39, aquatic invasive and species, and reciprocity. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Throne.
Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I left my BlackBerry somewhere along the way in mug delivery, so if anybody has a stray BlackBerry, it's mine.
Just while we're waiting for our musical entertainment, I would tell you that I had the opportunity yesterday to... For those of you that have asked, I had the opportunity to travel to Houston for a function with the UW Foundation in conjunction with the School of Energy Resources, and it really illustrated the good work you all have done over the past 6 to 8 years in being very proactive in our support of our economy, our commodities. And it was really illustrated very well how our matching fund legislation really was an incentive for private corporations to invest in our university. And we're really doing some great things with regard to mineral exploration and production that hopefully will keep our economy robust in the years to come. So that's the update. That's where I was. I've got about 3 hours of sleep last night, so if I look bad, that's the reason why. So, Representative Blake told me I look terrible today, so I wanted to say that.
The Cowboys take on the TCU Horned Frogs, so let's cheer them on. Cowboys should be able to squish a Horned Frog or two.
He always sings, back in the cattle as he sings, back and forth in the saddle on a horse.
Talk about the cowboy, ragtime cowboy Joe.
He shall we sing? Shall we to the Cadillac team? Back and forth in a saddle on a horse. Down the street to pay the gate. There's all the years of leaders.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good work, ladies and gentlemen. 5 weeks of the 61st Legislature General Session are in the history books. Get rest. Be safe. Have a great weekend. The first six bills for Monday, February 14, 2011, Senate File 88, Senate File 94, Senate File 81, Senate File 103, and House Bill 1. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until Monday, February 14, 2011, at 9:57 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no? No. The House is adjourned until Monday, February 14, 2011, 9:57 a.m.